covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Brewers get another series victory. They bounce back immediately. Never a doubt. Everything's A-OK. Brewers, 8-6. There's a little bit of little hair that popped up there in the ninth inning, but it's no big deal. The Brewers' offense, 8 runs without a homer. They had a base runner in 7 of 8 innings of offense. Shane Drouin was phenomenal, a quality start. The offense showed up. A little bit of something from just about everybody in this game, aside from Jake Bowers. I'm Dominic Catronio with Jerry Augustine. Despite the gut punch of injured list news earlier today, the Brewers put that behind them. They take their first series of the second half. They remain 6 games up on the Chicago Cubs, who won earlier today as well. You know, just first and foremost, Augie, just the kind of the macro view to say, as rough as it ended in the first half, you could tell that there was fatigue. You could tell that there was frustration. Yes, they've won these first 2 games of this series against Miami, who is currently in playoff position, mind you. I mean, you can argue, as good as it's gone, the Brewers have not played their best baseball these 2 games, and yet, you know, the cream still rises in that their floor is that much higher than a team like the Marlins, who are still learning how to win.
Well, I tell you, you take this team, you take the Marlins, they made some miscues in the field, and the pitching hasn't been very good this game. When you look at it, you see they have 15 walks in 2 ball games. You go those number of walks, you're going to give the other two team an opportunity to stay in a ball game, and you're going to give let them turn the batting over around. But I think when you look at the Brewer Ball Club, and you know, we did say they hadn't played their best, but you know, they go out and they play consistently in all 3 phases. You know, you still have to go out, you have to play good defense, and I think if there's anything that stands out in this first 2 games, I think it's the defense has been fantastic going out. If you score runs off this ball club, you have to earn them. I think when you look at the pitching, it's been very, very good. Bullpen's excellent. When you see the guys come in, Uribe and McGill are as good as you get. They come in the game, they're efficient, you see what they do, and I thought Drouin today was fantastic. When you come, and then you look at it on the other side, they've been runners on base. What they were 5 for 21. You know, that's not what this team is about. But you know, they got opportunities, and sometimes things aren't going good. You get opportunities sooner or later, you're going to take advantage of it. 6th inning, they were able to score some runs.
I mean, 5 for 21 doesn't sound great, and I'm not trying to sugarcoat it either. But you know, that doesn't include the walks. It doesn't include, you know, an intentional walk, doesn't include, you know, there's an error, you're putting the ball in play. I mean, the Brewers, in those run-scoring opportunities, the big one really in the third when they struck out back-to-back with Lara and Pratt, but granted they had already scored a run in that frame, they were generally putting bat on ball. And if you're splitting hairs about that, yes, 5 for 21 is not that good. And now for the series, they are 6 for 31 with runners in scoring position, so it's roughly 200 with runners in scoring position. That's not great. But again, like I said last night, I'll repeat it here, you're giving yourselves opportunities.
That's
the law
right.
of averages tells us, if this is the worst it's going to be and you're still scoring 8 runs without a homer, if this is the worst it's going to be hitting 200, then look, it should work out once you're getting closer to the level that you're used to performing at with the big hit and the runner in scoring position. Keep giving yourself the opportunity and good things will happen.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's, you know, as the games go along, you just see this team is going to swing the bat and they are going to score some runs. And you got certain guys that are really swinging the bat real well. I mean, how much better can you swing the bat than Garrett Mitchell? And you're getting guys in Yelly and Bochiri were on base 4 times today, or 3 times each today. And when you do those type of things, you're getting on base and you're getting opportunities. It's going to come, it's going to pop, and you're going to start scoring runs. But getting opportunities, like you just said, 5 for 21 isn't nice. That's not a number that you like to have, especially against, since this club was one of the best in Major League Baseball in the first half of the year. And now you're seeing them struggling a little bit, but they're getting opportunities. They're getting base runners. And sooner or later, you get the opportunities, you're able to score some runs. And boy, defensively and pitching, they've been very, very good.
You know, and the other thing, too, about this whole stretch right now is the Brewers, I'm adding it up in my head right now. So that's 114, that's 135. They made the Marlins throw over 160 pitches today in 8 innings. I mean, closer to 170 pitches in it. They're averaging over 20 pitches an inning, forcing the Marlins to come to their strikes. I mean, how many 3-ball counts did we see today? How many, you know, you already mentioned the 15 walks in the series, but it just, The Brewers had a base runner in each of the first 7 innings of this contest. And then they did something with those base runners, going 7 for 7 and with stolen bases, 2 double steals today. I just think that, you know, Clayton McCullough said it, the manager of the Marlins yesterday, saying, you need to play perfect against the Milwaukee Brewers. And
yes,
today, they did not play perfect defensively or holding runners, that sort of thing. And it arguably was the difference of the game, because a few of those runners are back 90 feet or a couple of those errors are made. I mean, the Marlins probably win this game. Again, for 8 runs being scored, I don't think the Brewers particularly played well today, top to bottom.
I agree.
Aside from Shane Drouin.
I agree with you. I think that, you know, overall, this wasn't the perfect game, but, you know, you still go. You got Drouin gives up the three runs there in the second inning. Boy, then after that, he's perfect. I think he had one base runner or maybe two after that for the rest of the time that he was in there. So it's just about this ball club being able to do little things on a consistent basis. And, you know, they look at all three phases and they turn the page every day and they go out and they play strong in all three phases. And some of the times it doesn't look very pretty. It doesn't look good. But, you know, it's still, you had Yelly come up at a big time in the game, hits a double. You had Chirio come up. Boy, he's been struggling. He was 0 for a series so far. What does he do? He gets a good little breaker ball over the plate because this guy had just thrown like 8 balls out of 10, and he gets a curveball. What does he do? Hits the ball back up the middle. Little things like that, even though it doesn't look good, in the end, it helps you when you need it. They do it when you need it, and it showed today. It really did. It showed he got some big hits, and then when you got Garrett coming up with the big 2-out hit and scored 2 runs to give him a 6-3 lead. So you got guys that are going up and. Are they swinging the bat real well right now? Probably not. But you got some guys that are really swinging the bat well, but they're putting the ball in play. They're giving them opportunities. They're going deep in the counts. Like you said, I don't remember that many batters for the Brewers that were the Miami pitchers were pitching ahead. They were usually ball one, ball two, going deep in the count, or they go ball, strike one, ball one, ball two, strike ball three. So, I mean, when you look at this, the difference in this whole series has been Miami's pitching.
And chasing Max Meyer after 3 innings,
that's
making
right.
him throw, you know, north of 70 pitches in 3 innings.
That's
That added up, and you throw in the smoke, you throw in the heat, and they clearly were saying, you know what, after 11-day break, we're not going to push it with you, and they pulled him maybe a little sooner than people expected. And I'm not saying the Brewers, oh my God, the Brewers deserve to lose this game. I'm not saying that, but what I'm trying to say is the fact that the Brewers took advantage of some mistakes from the Marlins, like we normally see them do. Braden Shumake deserves some love for situational hitting with the sac fly in the second inning, leading off the 6th with the double to big the 4-run inning. And then he put the ball in play there in the 7th inning, got rewarded with an error and an infield single, and kept that line moving and got aboard for Yelly's double. I mean, it's just, it felt like the opportunities, while there were many of them, they keyed in. They scored enough. I mean, if this was 5 for 21 and he scored 4 runs, that's where you're slamming on the table, like, what the heck is wrong?
Yeah.
This is a game that, in my opinion, the Brewers just let the floor do the talking, meaning this was probably the baseline of, hey, you go 5 for 21 with runners scoring position, you didn't hit a home run, you had base runners all day long, and this is the worst thing that could happen. That's a pretty darn good team and a really good sign of things to come for the Crew. We'll talk a little bit about Shane Drouin. We'll talk about the news, of course, with Brandon Woodruff and Sal Frelick. Woodruff being out for the year, Frelick on the IL until further notice. They are awaiting more imaging on him. That's all to come here on the postgame show. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. Get some texts, get some chats over on the YouTube side as well. Just getting going right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win 61 of them. 61 wins. They've taken the series against the Marlins, bouncing back from the end of the All-Star break. Again, this is a playoff team. Put some respect on the Marlins. I know they're on a losing skid right now, sweep going into the All-Star break, and now in danger of getting swept coming out of the All-Star break. Miami, they are currently tied in winning percentage virtually with the St. Louis Cardinals, who also lost today to the Arizona Diamondbacks. And let me just go ahead while we're at it here and take a look at the head-to-head matchup. If St. Louis and Miami have faced each other this year, Miami has the tiebreaker. 4-2 wow. this year against St. Louis. So if they end up tied for the last wild card spot at the end of the year, it's Miami that gets in, not St. Louis, and St. Louis has to sit at home and watch. So that's something to keep in mind. They have a couple tiebreakers as I'm looking at the matrix here on teams that are going to matter for them. For instance, they have it on the Washington Nationals, but I think they're going to start to fall apart here. They have it. They don't have it yet on the Nationals, but they're up 5-1 on that. They have it on the Cardinals, and they have not faced the San Diego Padres yet. So keep those dates circled for later on in the year. But talking about the game at hand, Brewers win 8-6 over the Marlins. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dominic Catronio. So change, Roman. I think, you know, you said something really I found interesting as soon as we sat down right before we hit recording thing. Shane Drouin's my number three. And I think tonight's a day that you're like, yeah, absolutely. He looks like a number three right now. What are the things that are jumping out to you as it feels like every start gets a little bit better than the last from him as he proves himself that he belongs to be considered for a potential postseason start, but he continues. This was only his 10th big league start, and it was a quality start for the second straight time.
And he gets better and better. You know, you look like the way he was today. That second inning was kind of a funky inning. You know, he could have got out of it a lot less than he did, but you know, he made some bad pitches. But it just seemed after that he got himself in control. When you look at what he does, how he does with his breaking ball is down in his zone. He throws his fastball. He can throw the two-seamer to four-seamer. He locates it both in and out. I think he's sneaky quick. I think he's got that real compact delivery. He goes and he extends down. He throws the ball to all quadrants, and he can throw the ball up. He throw the ball down. Boy, today when he needed it, he kept a couple of bad batters. He wanted to stay down with his cutter, and he stayed down with the breaking ball, and he got guys to swing at pitches that were out of the strike zone. He's got that unique ability because I think the ball gets on guys quick, and he throws strikes to expand the strike zone. And he's got that versatility. I know we've talked how much we like him in the bullpen. He's so good out of the bullpen, and he could be a big help. But here's a guy, when you get this part of the season where, you know, we got to find out who we can use when we get to the playoffs. And I just think right now, if you look at him, I like the way he's throwing. I like Logan Henderson. I want to see him pitch a little bit more, and I want to see McCullers pitch. I want to see these guys pitch. But when you look the way he's pitching now, and if he consistently gets the starts, it's going to be interesting. He might work himself into that number three. But right now, I think he is their third best starter.
When you look at that second inning, and I'll kind of, you know, preach to the pitching choir here of just that, you know, he didn't necessarily do anything wrong in that second inning. You get a bloop double on a near epic diving catch by Jackson Churio. I mean, that ball for Sanoa was hit 91 off the bat. I mean, it was not hit hard. Then a perfect bunt single, tip your cap. Leo Jimenez, clean single through the left side. All right, you give up hits. It's no big deal. Perfect bunt single from Esteri Ruiz. It was actually smart for Drouin to eat that baseball and not try to throw it away. He gets a ground ball to Joe Mack, but it was perfectly placed. They couldn't turn the double play. Even if Drouin stretched with the right foot, I don't think he was going to get him there. And then a sac fly to center. That was the hardest hit ball of the inning on a great catch by Garrett Mitchell, which arguably might have saved this day because you circle that catch for Garrett. It wasn't going to get out of the yard, but he made a good read on it. He trusted the wall, jumped into the wall, makes it a sacrifice fly instead of a double, and who knows if it hits off that wall where it could have bounced. For it to be 3-0 in the span of, what was it, 11 pitches? I mean, it came fast and furious there in that second inning. And Drouin never rattled and never, you know, wavered from that point on the rest of the game. I thought that was really important to show what he's capable of, to say, all right, I got a gift in center by Mitchell making that catch. Nothing more, and he did his job.
Well, I tell you what, he got out of that inning. You see, he walked off, and he's a stone face. He's a stone face. He doesn't show much emotion when he walks off the mound, but he regrouped, and I thought he came out in that third inning, and he was just dynamite. It was all about, hey, you know what? I got to pitch ahead. I got to use my stuff. I got to use my breaking ball. I'm going to throw the ball. I'm going to try to expand the strike zone. And in the next several innings that he pitched, he did just that. He pitched ahead when he needed to. When he needed to go after a guy, he reached back. He was able. What I like about him, when he needs to, every once in a while, I call him sneaky quick. He reaches back and he gets a little bit. He gets a little extra, and you know, that's something that you don't teach everybody. It's just something that you say, you know what? Now this is time where I'm going to get it, and he goes and gets it, and he gets it. And he gets that velocity up in a 95, 96. And boy, it's surprising because he gets on you real quick. But his location in this strike zone is a strike thrower. He doesn't walk anybody. And he's just a guy that goes out there and expands the strike zone and makes you beat him.
And the Marlins are a team that they don't strike out that often. He got 9 strikeouts, his career high against Miami today. And of the 5 hits he allowed, they were all the first time through the order, and 3 of the 5 hits were infield hits. It was a really dominating day, despite what the final line says, because you may see 5 hits and 3 runs, and you're thinking, oh man, he kind of plotted it around a little bit. Well, only 1 walk, 1 hit batter, and 9 punch. He retired the last 9 batters in a row he faced. He did not allow another hit the second or the third time through the order. I mean, that means your stuff is working. He didn't even need the cutter until the second and third time through the order. And, you know, you could argue the slider's been great, the curveball's been really good too, but him developing this cutter into a real weapon, which, surprise, surprise, the Brewers teach a guy how to throw a cutter. But Drouin, I mean, you talk to any lefty, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. You got to be able to get righties out, and you can't be afraid of the inside corner, and that's what I see from Shane Drouin.
Well, that's what he started in the beginning of the game. You watch him in the first inning. He was pounding the inside. You know what he's doing? He was coming in there saying, you know what? I'm going to make you guys aware that I will pitch in, and I can throw strikes in there, and I can throw the ball in a little bit off the plate, and I can throw my breaking ball, make you reach for it. But, you know, it was amazing. And that last inning, he looked like he came out there and he had another gear. Mm-hmm. It just looked like he punched out the way he was throwing the ball, throwing it by guys. He just looked like he went out there with the idea that, hey, you know what? This is a 6 quality start. I got to get it. And he went out there and he just took the inning over, and he was just fantastic. So you see a guy who goes out, gives up some runs, makes the adjustments, uses all the pitches that he needs, expands the strike zone, and then he gets late in the game where, you know what, he's getting towards the end, he knows it, can go out there and give you that little extra, get that extra gear. That's pretty special.
And for Drouin, I mean, he pitched trailing virtually this entire game.
That's right.
After the 3-run second, the Brewers didn't take the lead to the bottom of that 6th inning, and you could argue that spark and that energy that him coming out and just slamming any sort of thought of a rally down. Shutdown innings are so important in this game, where he provided the shutdown inning in both the 3rd and the 4th innings. And the psyche of the opposing dugout, of you're up 3-0, but then the Brewers score run at the bottom of it. It's like, sure, they didn't get it all back, but okay, they're in this. And then you get shut down at the top of the 3rd inning. All right. Well, then the Brewers respond again with another run in the bottom of the 3rd inning. You're thinking, man, they're in this. And Shane Drouin held the line, kept another shutdown inning in the 4th, and then he really hit his gear. Again, at one point, he had struck out 4 out of 5 and 5 out of 6. He was rolling at one point in this game to set his career high with 9 strikeouts. I just think that with the Brandon Woodruff injury, and you mentioned it, he's already maybe one of your 3, or him and Logan Henderson are certainly candidates. I know everybody wants to make a splash. Everybody wants to make a move at the trade deadline. Say, you won the trade deadline. They don't give banners for winning the trade deadline. They also don't give banners for discipline. I understand.
You're right.
But I think at some point, we're going to sit down here, and depending on what happens with the Tigers and who gets, you know, if they make those guys even available in Skubal and Mize, you sit down and look at this trade deadline. This might be a dud of a trade deadline. I'm just getting out in front of it, because we might look back in a month and look at this Lance McCullers deal and say, that was smart to get somebody while you could. Because if the Tigers go on a W6, they aren't trading anybody. The Red Sox are on a W12, they're not trading anybody. The Twins are .500, they're not trading anybody. They have no reason to trade anybody right now. So you're kind of looking around and going, well, you had to get something just in case. As you trust these young guys like Drouin, like Henderson, to say, one of you guys is going to pitch postseason games, which one of you is it going to be? And you got 2.5 months to figure it out.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know, you look at that American League, I don't think there's a team in the American League that's not in it almost. And when you look at what the names, all the names that you hear are teams that, you know what, they go on a little bit of a run, they're right back in it. And they're right in having the opportunity to go to postseason. That's what you want to do, is go to postseason. And are the trades going to be made? I agree with you. I don't know if there's going to be that many guys out there that you can get. I think the McCullers is a good guy to get. I just think they're sitting in a good situation. Now, who is it going to be? Who are the guys that are going to step up? We know what 1 and 2 are. We know what those guys are. They're labeled and they're there. But where are we going to go from there? And I think you got the opportunity with 4 or 5 guys that can step up and show you that they want to be a part of it, and they're going to be a part of it, and they're going to come and be on a consistent basis. Like, as much as I like Drouin, boy, I'll tell you what, Logan Henderson is, you got to see him more. Mm-hmm. You just got to see him more. But that gives you the versatility to this ball club, what you can do. and you have all these guys that have the opportunity. You got so many numbers you can put out there. That gives you the opportunity to give these guys a chance, see what they can do, and at the same time, make sure that you have Miz and Harrison ready for the playoffs. That's what you need. September in playoffs, they got to be strong.
Yeah, and I know Drouin's an older rookie. He's 27 years old. But now, you know, as a starter this year, when he had that one rough start in Boston where he couldn't grip the baseball, so that kind of skewed his numbers. You know, I look at him lately, he's got a 3.20 ERA total on the season in his 20 outings. Here in July, he went 2-1 with a 3.38 ERA. He hasn't allowed more than three earned runs just once in his last five starts, and that one was against a quality team in the Philadelphia Phillies. So, I mean, I like a lot of what we're seeing right now from Shane Drouin, and he's certainly a candidate for who's hot. Garrett Mitchell is certainly who's hot, and we'll talk about him in the next segment. But it's brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. After a day at the lake or at the golf course or even the ballpark, come home to comfort with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Keep your AC running at its best with Midsummer Checkup. Visit Sider.com to schedule service today, Sider.com, and stay cool all summer long. Before we go to break, let's get to the phone lines here, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Doug and Baraboo. Doug, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, good evening, guys. Boy, what an exciting game to make it at the end there. But I'd like to get back to Garrett Mitchell again, the speed that he showed today going down the first baseline to beat out that base hit and keep that inning going. I thought, I think 3 years ago, arguably, he might have been the fastest runner in the majors. I don't know where he stands now, but he's got to be healthy. He's got to be right up there. And everything else he's doing, catching and hitting now, it's just super. And then I was going to ask Augie what he thought of the first five, but after listening just now, I guess for pitching, I think I got the idea how he's thinking. And what do you think they should go to the six-man rotation, or should they throw in a bullpen session and for the sixth time and see how that goes?
That's a great question. You know, we go back many years of you and I and doing these post game show extra innings. But you know, the sixth man rotation is something that I like if they have to go to it. And let me tell me the reason why. They got to figure out where they want to go with their starting rotation by when they get through July and in the dog days of August. They got to find out going in September how they're going to approach this, how they're going to set things up, and how they want to go. So I think the importance of having these guys like the Logan Henderson getting his starts and Gasser and Drouin and these guys is so important, yet keeping Miz and Harrison healthy I think is so important. So they got some time right now where they got to get these guys starting. A bullpen game is always something that you can always use. I don't think the Brewers in a situation right now where they want to go to a bullpen game. I think when they go out, they want to have a starter because they have to figure out and develop who this is going to be. When they lost Woody and they don't know if they can make a trade and get another starter yet, I'm going to tell you, you have to make a decision where you're going to go after one and two. And, you know, Dom and I sit and we go over the guys. We like Logan Henderson. We like Drouin. We like, you know, can he bounce back and start throwing the ball very well? You know, you got different things you can do and different players. But I think these guys got to get some starts and they got to show some consistency because when you get in the playoffs, it's a whole different ball game. You got to turn up the volume a little bit because it's a little bit more exciting and you got to be ready to pitch. And so I think finding out who these starters are so important.
Yeah, I think on the Garrett Mitchell front, we can spend a whole segment on Garrett, and we'll do that coming up on the other side of the break. Appreciate the call there from Doug. Back with more in a moment on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. A
few texts that have rolled in here. Brewers get the victory 8-6. Alex from Oshkosh, that's a series win. Quality outing for Drouin, and G. Mitch continuing to stay hot. From Nick, what a win today. Garrett Mitchell continues to dominate. Hopefully that double from Yelly will help break out of his slump. Let's get the brooms out tomorrow. This one from Aaron in Illinois. Definitely some room for improvement, situational hitting, but winning the season series against this team is an accomplishment. They usually give us fits. Tough news on Woody. He had a great career for the Crew. Shoemake might be a nice addition. And when will we see McCullers? You know, I'm expecting McCullers either tomorrow or Monday. You know, I bet we'll see him in the next couple of days. Don't want to keep him in the cooler. He'll be an important piece for the team moving forward. Remember, they have a 17 in a row coming up at the start of August, where maybe you'll get an extra spot starting there for Lance or whatever they decide to do with that. But Lance is excited getting his feet wet here in Milwaukee and figure out what his role will be. But Garrett Mitchell, once again, is a headline today, Augie. Three more hits. Yes, he had two punch, whatever, but great at-bats. Opposite field, hustle double there in the sixth inning to score two more with two strikes on him once again. He had a hustle infield single there in the third inning, like Doug was talking about with his speed. He is still one of the top 15 runners in the game. There are a lot of guys that are not necessarily like Garrett, where they can provide power the same way that Garrett can do both. Garrett's a five-tool player when he's in this version of himself. Because let me just give you the numbers now, because they keep getting better and better. Here in July, he leads baseball in hitting. He's hitting .411 in July. He's got 23 hits this month. Furthermore, since the middle of May, since the end of the Padres series, 51 games for Garrett Mitchell, .335 batting average, and a .968 OPS, nearly just by points away, just a couple points away, a .400 on base percentage over that time. He's nearly a .345 player over his last 51 games. Now, it's still not a full season, but it's not a small sample size either. If that's your 5 or 6 hitter and you're complaining about Yelly and Yelly, it's baby steps. We'll talk about Yelly. Garrett, being a luxury that the Brewers have, having him hit after William Contreras or around Jake Bowers, that's going to weather the load with Sal Frelick being out and not being himself. Garrett becoming the Garrett that we all dreamed of him being is, you know, A1 above the fold story about the 2026 Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, he said, you know, he's setting highs in the games played. He's the time he's being healthy, the at bats, what he's been doing. But you know, he just looks like he's so patient at the plate. He looks like he's real confident in what he's doing. He's settling in. You know, the other times he'd be with us and he'd be in 40 games and he'd get hurt and he'd be out for most part of the season. I think now he's finding himself. He's relaxed. He's healthy, and he's just approaching the game in a nice, calm, relaxing manner, and he goes up there and he gives you those good at bats. And I thought the double he hit, the hustle double he got, this bring the Brewers 6-3. I thought that was an excellent at bat. But he just goes up there. Is he going to strike out? Yes. Are they going to make some good pitches? Yes. But I tell you, look at his at bats. What he does with those at bats, taking deep into count. He goes deep into counts. He sees a lot of pitches, and he swings the bat pretty well. And you talk about him in the outfield, the catches that he's made the last 2 days. Center field, when the ball's hit at you, is extremely difficult to play. Which way do you turn? How do you recover? And I tell you what, he made it look easy sometimes. And he's just a very, very good outfielder. Now you can tell that his speed and his jump on the ball, he's got great instincts. He's just playing great baseball right now.
And confidence breeds that as well.
It does.
When you're having success at the plate, it's pretty easy to find success on the other side of the baseball too. And he's been making great reads in the outfield. And you know, the catch we talked about with the sac fly in the second inning, if that ball hits off the wall, that's a 2-run double.
Absolutely.
At minimum. And maybe it's a completely different game. And for Garrett to continue to roll with it and to be somebody that can restart this lineup batting fifth behind William Contreras, we haven't even mentioned the fact that Bryce Terang's going to be out for a little while because of his bruised right foot from a foul ball yesterday. Mm-hmm. And according to Pat Murphy, he's going to be down probably tomorrow as well, and we'll see what the Mets series availability looks like for Bryce. So, you know, you need some lefty pop. If Yelly's not going to be the guy, Bowers went 0 for 5 today, but I think Bowers has earned a day where he goes, oh, hey, he looked human for once. But for this team, for this offense, Churio starting to get back on track, like you talked about, showing signs of life. Garrett restarting the lineup. I wonder if Garrett's hitting third or second tomorrow, given, hey,
could be.
You got to give the guy who's the hottest in the lineup, give him as many PAs as he can.
You know, it was funny because we talked early in the season. We were looking at, you know, we looked at 1 through 5 and what they had, and you had Vaughn in there and a couple of other guys. We were wondering, who's going to be that next guy? Is it going to be Garrett Mitchell? Is it going to be Sal Frelick stepping back? He was struggling. Is Ortiz going to step up like we need him to step up? But, you know, you look at the guys and what they're doing, and now they got the young players with Pratt and Lara, and they're going up there and giving some fairly decent at-bats. But, you know, Garrett Mitchell is a guy I think that has really stepped up, has been a, you know, certain guys that come up and you say, hey, certain guys at certain times carry your ball club. Garrett Mitchell's doing that right now.
And furthermore, for the Brewers, I think that with Yelly at the top of the order, spent a lot of time talking about Yelly at the top of the order yesterday. He gets on base three times today, including a pair of walks.
Yep.
And it's baby steps with Yelly, okay?
Yep.
It's not like you're going to snap your fingers, he's going to go 4-for-4 and say, boom, he's back. The things you're looking for in little ingredients are games like today, where did he make some mistakes, like the strikeout in the second inning with runners on second and on first and second? Yes. But the plate discipline was there mostly. Two walks, good base running, staying in that rundown as long as he could, an opposite field double is a good sign. It's just little tiny baby steps. It doesn't happen overnight when you keep stacking good days like this where, hey, he only chased two pitches out of the strike zone today or whatever it may be. Or, hey, he was able to be a little bit more patient or whatever he is that he is directly working on today with his game plan and his process. Look, it's not going to be overnight for Yelly. But little days like today, you need to point out, say, okay, there's a good one. Stack another one tomorrow.
You know, you just said it. There's a good one. And I'll tell you what, that double he hit down, he went inside. That, well, you kind of look at him, he struck out in a tough time and looked like he didn't have a good idea at the plate, just exactly where he's going. They made some good pitches on him. But that at-bat right there, when he hit that double, I went, it's okay. He'll be back. Because that is his signature. Boy, staying back the way he does and go inside out, hit the ball where he did, get down in a corner like he did. That just goes to show you that, you know, he's still there. It's just a matter of getting that time. It's just a matter of, you just don't know that one day he's going to just take off and he's going to be what we want. But he's still getting on base, like you just said. Cheerio and Yelly, both one hit today. Both very important hits, but getting on base three times, that's huge.
And intentionally walking Jackson Churio in fourth inning. I mean, the ultimate sign of respect. Ultimately, Bauer's flied out in the left-on-left situation. And, you know, they scored 8 runs in a game without Bryce Turang. No Sal Frelick for the time being. He was placed on the IL today. No Brandon Woodruff moving forward. No big deal. The Brewers take a series from the Miami Marlins, and they continue to roll the train down the tracks, and tomorrow they'll hand the ball to Robert Gasser looking for a sweep. Augie, appreciate you as always. You're not on the show tomorrow, but I'll talk to you next week against the Mets.
Yeah, it's going to be fun on Mizday. Mizday. But big game tomorrow. Gasser coming back. Hey, struggled last time out. Didn't really command the strike zone. I thought he was getting too big with his sweeper, and now he's got to go back to where he's cutting it down, cut that thing, and use both sides of the plate. It's going to be interesting how he bounces back from the last outing.
Yep, we're going to hear from Braden Shoemake on the other side of the break. We're going to hear from Pat Murphy as well. Going to the top of the hour, Brewers win 8-6 right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
A little buy or sell here. Brewers get the victory. Key utility player emerging while David Hamilton and Brandon Lockridge are on the IL. They're about to go on rehab assignment, but Braden Shoemake, he had himself a nice little game. Sacrifice fly, he played good defense at second, also had scored 2 runs in the 6th and 7th innings. 2 hits for him today, we'll hear from him in just a moment. But the Brewers, you know, they keep finding these utility guys. He's a left-handed hitter and can do a little bit of everything on the infield. He's just serviceable enough to, you know, be a defensive, you know, all over the place utility man. We know the Brewers love versatility. Just feels like a very Brewers coded player. And I joked with him in the clubhouse yesterday that, you know, I meet him for the first time the same day I meet Lance McCullers. And it's just, you know, Houston's just taking over this clubhouse right now. But the Brewers have found another useful little piece here with Braden Shoemake, and is going to be a piece that you monitor until David Hamilton comes back. Obviously, he's out of options, so it makes things difficult if he's going to stay in the organization. But for Shoemake, I'm buying some stock in that. I see there's a ball player in there. It's brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, and powered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. Braden Shoemake caught up with Josh Maurer after today's victory.
Braden is on with us downstairs. Hi, Braden. Thanks so much for sticking around.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Man, so this must have been quite a day for you. You're not in the lineup originally, but then about an hour or so before the game, Bryce Turang gets scratched. You find out you're going to play second base. What is the mentality like when you find out kind of that close to first pitch that all of a sudden you're in the lineup?
I mean, all of us in the locker room, really, we kind of prepared every day to be in the lineup, whether we're in or not, whether something happens or whether we're going to come in the game late, whatever it is, it takes all of us. It's a group effort in there. So everybody's locked in, ready to go, and gets their work in every day.
You know, we just played that sack fly that got the team on the board in that second inning, but up here in the booth, Lane and I each thought that the double that you had to lead off the sixth against Calvin Fauché, that started the game-winning four-run rally. We thought that was the biggest swing that you had and maybe anybody had today. It was the first pitch that Fauché threw. Take us through that approach that you had there.
Yeah, I mean, talking to the coaching staff in the dugout before, talking to Vogie, and we kind of developed a plan on what we wanted to do and how we wanted to approach that, and so I was on go early, and he threw a pitch in the location that we had decided on, and I got a good swing off on it, and you know, it kind of sparked everything, and the boys just continued to put good at-bats together and make it happen on the base pass as well.
And you kept putting good at-bats together too. 2 for 3 with that sack fly as the Brewers win it by a final score of 8-6 over Miami. Braden Shoemake's our guest. Let me just ask you how it's going so far. You have been with this team not even a full week yet. Tomorrow will be 1 week since the trade brought you over from the Astros. How has the week gone for you so far? You're first with the Brewers.
It's been amazing. You can't ask for a better situation than you get over here. When I came up with Atlanta, I played against most all of these guys, so some familiar faces, and then playing with Vonnie in college a little bit, and then playing with him again in Chicago. So I mean, everybody's been welcoming, and makes it easy for me to be myself.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you know, you've changed teams a couple of times this season already, so it's something that you're becoming used to, but it's never easy. What are the things that make it better when you have to do this midstream to go to a new organization?
You know, my wife and I have really just dug into our faith, and kind of that's something that we're very passionate about, and so just kind of trusting that plan is the one for us, and that every journey is going to be it's going to be fun, and we're going to enjoy it. You never know how long this game lasts, so we're going to enjoy every step. And then, when you got those guys in the clubhouse, it's about as easy as it gets.
Yeah, and I was going to say, how fun is it to come into the middle of a first-place team right around the All-Star break? That must make a difference too, right?
Absolutely. I mean, when you're around a bunch of guys that know how to win, it makes it a lot of fun to play the game.
Does that give you maybe a little bit of extra impetus to go out there and produce, knowing that you're stepping into these big games right away?
Absolutely. I mean, we want to win every day, and that hasn't changed anywhere that I've been, but this team knows how to win, and that rubs off on everybody. Anybody that comes in that's new, anybody that comes up from AAA, whatever it is, that rubs off on everybody. The winning culture is a real thing, and we have it here.
Well, it's so good to have you here in the organization, Braden, and thanks so much for sticking around to chat with us. Congrats on a great win today.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
You know, that may sound, you know, to use a baseball term, like eyewash, oh, these guys know how to win. But when you hear it over and over again from people who join this organization and who are excited to join this organization, to be given a chance, to think like, oh, they think I can help them win. And I promise you, it is not a secret, the last 5 seasons of Brewers baseball, that these guys expect to win. And it's an amazing feeling to know that, a reminder of how all of this got built and how Rome wasn't built in a day, all that. But like, you know, since 2021, I'm not even including 2020 because COVID year was weird. And even with Yelly having the fracture at the end of 2019, right? 2018 was fun. It was a different lineup. There was a lot of roster maneuvering with that lineup, a lot of guys that weren't around the next year and that sort of thing. But since 2021, you can see this guard that started to change. You know, Yelly obviously being at the forefront of it, Woodruff being at the forefront of it, but we may or may not have seen him throw his last pitch in a Brewers uniform. But then you look at the other pieces, right? You look at the guys that were drafted in the early 2020s, Sal Frelick, Bryce Terang, that are up here now, that are making an impact on this team. Garrett Mitchell making an impact on this team. That you can sit around here and look at this winning club and say, they're going to keep doing it. This is not a one-year deal. And it's a beautiful thing to know that no matter what the Brewers do at this trade deadline, they will expect to win next season too. And I know there are a lot of experienced Brewers fans out there that hear that and say, man, it didn't used to be like that. Now, I know the playoff rules are different. You know, we could talk about some of those 90s teams. But to know that the Brewers, when they wake up on opening day every single year, is that the expectation is the playoffs, and it's a realistic belief.
That's a really, really fun thing to say. And every player around Major League Baseball knows that. Even if they're not on the Brewers at the time on opening day, you look at what Andrew Vaughn did last year. You look at what Willy Adames did when he first came here. Guys that change scenery and come to this winning environment tend to thrive. And I think that's the highest compliment I can give this organization. Another guy that played well today, we got a shout out. Of course, we've already talked about Garrett Mitchell. Shoemake is also very deserving of player of the game. But for me, I'm handing it to Shane Drouin. Player of the game is brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive into summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit iamilwaukee.com, International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. He's coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Text on the Luis Lara stolen base. Good question. Welcome back. I'm Dom Cotroneo. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Not to be negative, just a question. When Lara got his first stolen base, the throw sailed, went into center. He could have advanced and went to third. Why don't the runners look up to Matt Erickson for a signal to come or to stay? Well, for Matt Erickson, he can get blocked out by the third baseman, by the shortstop. He can get deked as well, and that's what's happening. That's a trend in baseball these days where you'll see the second baseman or shortstop try to fake a tag on them, and you just hear the crowd roaring. Your brain kind of shuts off, and Matt Erickson isn't always giving a signal because he needs to be 100% certain that he sees the baseball. The coaches can get deked just like you and me. We have every camera sitting on our couch watching and seeing a ball zoom into center field. When you're in the moment and you're in the heat of the battle, sometimes it's hard to read on that. Another thing that's hard to read on, ABS, right? I am begging. Here's a million-dollar idea for the Brewers, all right? Brewers marketing team, sit down. I got an idea for you. During the offseason, when no one's in here, fire up the Traject system, which is their fancy, you know, pitching machine where it shows an augmented view of the pitcher that you're facing, and it can set up the, you know, the pitch metrics and everything that goes into it. Set it up to face some Brewers and have fans pay to stand in on the Traject and do your own ABS challenge. Say, all right, was that a ball or strike? And you go, too late. You're out of time. You didn't get a chance to challenge. 0-1 count. Here we go. Like, we're so used to watching with the box, and we're so used to, oh, it's, you know, less than an inch off the corner. That's so clearly a ball. Why didn't you challenge that? And vice versa, when it's in the strike zone. That's so clearly a strike. What are you doing? The game's hard. You know, game moves fast. Mistakes are made. That's why there's an error column. Ask the Marlins about that error column tonight. Brewers get the victory 8-6. It's a good question, though. Appreciate that one from the text line. Brewers get the victory 8-6. The manager was in a good mood all season long, now the rest of the year anyway. Pat Murphy's press conference is brought to you by Old Fashioned Roofing. Win or lose, Murph gives it to you straight. And around here, so does Old Fashioned Roofing. Veteran-owned, Wisconsin-built, the Pat Murphy press conference is presented by Old Fashioned Roofing, where a handshake still matters. Here's Murph.
Drouin was fantastic. That should be your first comment, right? Drouin, outstanding. McGill, not easy to come in when you think you're not pitching, and then all of a sudden you're pitching. So that's part of his deal. Yeah, some great. Yelly had three great ones. Churio had three good ones. Mitchell, of course, continued. Lara contributed, battled. Shoemake, how about that? Nice contribution, first time of the year, three good at-bats. Ortiz continues to play defense, whatever. Uribe, yeah, good solid overall.
Murph, your clubs absorb some tough stuff. Like today, the morning was a little tough. Salama, injured list, Woodruff, Terang scratch. Was this one of the more resilient?
Yeah, I like the way they play it. Down 3-0 to a pitcher that's 9-1 with a 2-4. Okay. That's tough going, maybe. You know what I mean? And they got the pitch count up and got him out of there. And, yeah, little by little. And stole a bunch of bases and put pressure on them. And, yeah, got to their pen and It wasn't pretty. You know, we had a lot of opportunities and really didn't cash in. Yelly's double and Chirio's single were the times, and Mitchell's double. But those are three times we cashed in. Other than that, it was kind of grim with runners in scoring position.
What'd you like about what Schmidt gave you today in the at-bats?
Yeah, I mean, he looked comfortable. You know, he looked comfortable. Went up there like he's done it before, and big sac fly with two strikes, leadoff double, infield hit. I guess they scored that a hit, but you know, ran the bases well, played defense, stole a bag. Yeah. Been a while since we stole seven bags in a game, right? So that's kind of back to our roots, what we like to do. Stole third at least two times, right? But Drouin, he got better. He didn't get discouraged. He got better. He had 10 punch or something like that?
Nine
punch?
Nine.
Thought it was 10.
But do you think, I mean, he's starting to get you through six,
yeah,
kind of consistently. Do you feel like he's finding, as a starter, like a little rhythm?
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's just a great competitor. You know, he's a great competitor. He cares. He's a teammate. Guys love him. I mean, guys just to the man. They trust him and they love him. Just how he goes about his world. You know, it's pretty special. And we said this in spring training. Like, who is this kid? He's never pitched in the big leagues? Like, just how he handled himself in spring training, how he went about his business, you're like, wow. Go ahead, Todd. You tried to interrupt again. It's like,
yep. You like stop and then start again. It's hard to judge when you're stopped.
Yeah. Just like hitting, you know, you can't get out in front too much and stay behind
right.
It.
It's kind of like that. I was just going to ask about terrain.
Thus, your career.
Yeah, exactly. Is terrain going to be like a one-day thing, do you think?
Don't know. You know, he's still limping around pretty good. Hopefully it's not anything more. X-rays were negative. But, you know, it could be. Yeah, that would be bad. But Sal down, him down. Yeah, that's a lot to absorb if you're trying to maintain the level we're trying to maintain. So
it's something to not be alarmist about, but it's not a good feeling if Bryce Strang's going to miss, say, more than a week. Granted, you're in a good spot of your schedule to absorb it once you get through. Now you've won this series against the Marlins. Marlins, arguably your hardest series of the next 2 weeks, right? You get the Mets coming to town, then the Rockies, then you go on the road to San Francisco, and then you don't face another team above 500 after that Angels series when you come back home for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So you've got almost, you know, 3 full weeks against teams under 500 starting on Monday. So if you're going to absorb a time with Terang without being a little bit, this would be a good time to do it. Same with Sal Frelick. We'll see what unfolds for the crew. Highlights are coming up next here on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Brewers and Marlins, game two of the series. Shane Drouin on the mound for the crew against Max Meyer, who's been a great story for the Marlins. And it was Miami getting some batted ball and play luck in the second inning, scoring 3 runs in the span of just 11 pitches. It was 3-0 Miami with 2 infield hits on bunts, another chopper that failed to be able to play. Point being, it was 3-0, and the Brewers are going to be playing from behind. They got one back immediately in the bottom of the second with a sacrifice fly. Then in the third, it was Wild Bill's turn to turn in a run.
0-2 again. Fly ball into the gap in right center. Long run for Ruiz. He's over. He won't get it. It's off the fence. Chirio will score from second, and Contreras diving safely head first into second base with an RBI double.
The Brewers would make Max Meyer throw 31 pitches in that third inning. They made him work in his 3 innings of work and chased him from this game before you'd expect. That was it. 3 innings of work from the kid with a 2.60 ERA coming into the day with 74 pitches on his ledger. So the Brewers started to chip away from there. But Shane Drouin was keeping things in place thanks to some great defense behind him.
Ground ball hard hit. Fair at third. Backhanded behind the bag. Ortiz throws across. Dug out by Bowers. Out is Otto Lopez. And hang a star on that one for Joey Ortiz to end the top of the fourth. Oh, the defense in this series by Milwaukee has been exceptional. That ball was smoked.
It was smoked. And Drouin took care of business in the fifth inning. He's really on a roll since the three-run second. He struck out the last two of the three batters in the fourth. He struck out three in the fifth.
Looking in. Long hold set. Right at the chest and the 2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. A fastball at 95. He strikes out this side. He's got a career-high 8 strikeouts here this afternoon. Shane Drouin rolling along.
He would even add another 1-2-3 sixth inning for a quality start, adding it 9 strikeouts for Shane. But Brewers are still down 3-2 at this point. They're deep into the Marlins' bullpen. Calvin Fauché came out of the bullpen. The Brewers wasted no time. A leadoff double by Braden Shoemake. Then a walk by Joey Ortiz. He goes on base twice today. Another walk by Christian Yelich. Loaded the bases for Jack.
Fauché looking in. The pitch. And a liner into center. That's down for a base hit. Shoemake will score. Racing around third is Ortiz. Here comes the throw. It's cut off. And the Brewers take a 4-3 lead on a 2-run single from Jackson Churio.
How about it? He's been white hot with the bases loaded. Brewers weren't done with the inning, though. With 2 outs and 2 strikes, Garrett Mitchell trying to add on some more.
Fauché kicks, delivers. And Mitchell, a liner into left center field. That is down for a base hit. Yelich will score. Churio around third. He's going to score. Striking for second is Mitchell. It's a 2-run double, and the Brewers lead it 6-3.
It was a hustle double by all get-out. So the Brewers, with a 4-run frame, they kept things rolling. A 0 in the top of the 7th for the Marlins resulted in more runs in the bottom half for the crew from the captain.
The right-handers, 3-2 again. Line drive left field, slicing into the corner. Fair ball. That's going to roll all the way to the sidewall and reaches the warning track. 2-run score. Finally, Roberto Hernandez digs it out, throws it in. But Christian Yelich is standing at second base with an opposite field 2-run double.
Back-to-back days with a double for Yelly. Those insurance runs were key because in the 9th, a 3-run homer for Griffin Conine off of Craig Yoho, who was working in his second inning. Didn't matter because it gave a chance for a save for the Gorilla. Trevor McGill coming in and getting the job done.
Here's the 0-2 pitch. Ground ball to short. Big hop for Pratt. Pats the glove. Fires to first in time, and the Brewers have taken the first 2 against the Marlins here this weekend. They can go for a sweep tomorrow afternoon. 8-6, your final. The Brewers win it in come-from-behind fashion today.
They also stole 7 bases in today's contest to match a season high. Brewers get the victory 8-6. They are 61-37, back to 24 games above 500. We will say goodnight, previewing tomorrow's matchup after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Final couple minutes of the program. Thanks to everyone who tuned in. Happy Saturday. Deal with the smoke tomorrow. Be careful. If you got tickets coming to the ballpark tomorrow, a reminder, you can exchange those at brewers.com/game updates. So if the smoke's going to be an issue for you tomorrow, you do not have to come to the game. Please exchange your tickets. Be smart for all those insensitive groups. I mean, I'm looking at the smoke has progressively gotten worse as this postgame show has gone on. As I'm looking out here to the ballpark, all the windows are closed here, but yeah, it's going to be a weird one these next couple of days. Hopefully the smoke starts to fan its way out. So we get some rain in the forecast coming in on Monday as well, which is some good news as well. But Sunday, Eury Pérez, the baby goat, as they call him, gets the ball for the Marlins. He's been kind of attached at the hip to Sandy Alcantara. 5-7, a 3.78 ERA for Eury Pérez. Robert Gasser for the crew. He's 2-4, a 5.24 ERA for the Southpaw. The usual 1:10 first pitch will be on the air at noon with Brewers warm-up. Then the on-deck show takes over at 12:35. A quick lap around the league here. A lot of day games here on this Saturday. How about the Boston Red Sox? They've won 12 in a row. Willie Abreu back-to-back games with a 2-homer game, including the go-ahead shot in the 8th inning. 7-6, the Rays are starting to come back down to earth. other races that matter. The Phillies defeated the Mets 6-1, but the Braves held on to defeat the, or I should say the Rangers came back to defeat the Atlanta Braves 7-6. So the NL East continues to squeeze between the Braves and the Phillies. It's only a 2-game lead now for Atlanta over Philadelphia. By the way, the Brewers now have opened up a 4.5-game lead on the division lead of the Central and the East for who will get that second bye between them and the Dodgers. And by the way, they're still only a game back of LA. Granted, LA was rained out today as they were due to face the New York Yankees. Some other finals as we say goodnight. The Diamondbacks, as we mentioned earlier, defeated the Cardinals by a 5-3 score. Also today, the Cubs said it earlier, 6-2 over the Twins. We will be back with you in just a few hours for Game 3, looking for a sweep against the Miami Marlins. That's going to do it for our show. My thanks to our producer, Evan Witalison. I'm Dominic Catronio. Talk to you tomorrow at noon. Keep on swinging.